maybe it'll kind of help us get our hearts settled. And then we'll pray and we'll worship. This is Psalm 100. Shout joyfully to the Lord. Shout joyfully to the Lord. Anybody want to shout this morning? Hey. Yeah, joyful shout. All the earth, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. As we worship the Lord this morning, let's do that joyfully. Can we do that? Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are the people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. He loves us, church. He loves us, and he is faithful. Let's pray. God, I just thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your love. I thank you for opportunities to celebrate the birth of your son with family. And Lord, as we come out of this season, Lord, I just pray that we come out with joy. We come out with thankfulness. We come out of this season with praise. And Lord, I pray even in February, we're thankful and grateful for the birth of your son, our Savior. So Lord, just be strong. Be almost tangible in the room this morning as we seek you. Holy Spirit, move and have your way. Lord, we just want to bless your heart this morning. And we just thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Let's stand and worship the Lord together.
Jesus, all right.
that first verse again.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so
another song picked out, didn't quite go that way, so just one song before the children's sermon. But I do want to say that y'all heard this is my last Sunday. I want to say goodbye. I love each and every one of y'all. Sammy, I love you, bro. Where did you sit? Right here. I love you, Sammy. Judson, I love you too, bro. It's been really good. And the praise team, oh my goodness, they never complained. They just came and they served. So happy that Jessica's playing. She bedazzled her sticks and I was really excited, but they didn't dry in time. So next Sunday, hopefully she'll have bedazzled sticks when she plays. And Daniel, you've rescued me from trying to play the lead and lead worship and play lead guitar. You rescued me from that. Job well done. Marv, I love you. Everyone that's not on the platform that serves on the praise team, I love you. Thank y'all. Thank y'all so much. Children, are y'all ready for the children's sermon? Let's go.
I got lots of pieces this morning. Hey.
I got a new friend.
All right. How's everybody this morning? Hey, how are you? Good to see you. All right. Well, so today is the day after Christmas, right? Did everybody have a good Christmas?
Yeah.
Yes. Was it fun and exciting? Did you open presents and eat lots of food and spend time with family and friends? Hey, Ollie, can you sit right there? Thank you. All right. Harper, come here. All right, okay. You just stand right here by me? Okay, all right, so I'm getting my arm back. Okay, all right. I know Christmas is a wonderful, wonderful time, right?
Yeah.
So we've unwrapped the presents. There's nothing under, do you have anything under your tree? I still have four presents under my tree. But they're not for you? Okay, yeah. The presents under my tree are not for us either, so they've got to give them to somebody. So somebody else is going to get presents soon, all right? So, yeah. So now that we've unwrapped everything, we've had Christmas, we've sang Christmas carols, and we've driven around and seen all the Christmas lights, it is time to take down the Christmas tree and the decorations. Do y'all like to do that? No? Does it make you sad? Yeah, I know. It makes me very sad to take it all down and you box it away and you put it up for another whole year. You don't look at it again in July, do you?
No.
No? No. You just put it up in the boxes and tubs or whatever you're going to do in the attic and you just leave it up there and we just forget about it, right? Do you think about Christmas in July? Yeah, okay. Well, so at my house, at our house, I have manger scenes. Do you know what a manger scene is? Okay, it's where we have Mary and Joseph and the wise men, the shepherds and everything. And I have a lot of
manger
and baby Jesus. That's right. And I have a lot of them. And so I wanted to share just a few. So I have several. This one I have right here is one that I got that was at my mom and dad's house when I was growing up. We've had it for a very long time. So you have one of those? Okay. Yeah, and then I have this one. You have this one? Okay, yeah. And this is, our granddaughter likes to play with this and other kids, and I like to play with it too. So sometimes I'll just go, it sings. This one sings, Away in the Manger. So, yeah. You took Press the Angel. That's right. And then I brought a couple more. I didn't bring all the pieces because I don't have enough hands to hold my pieces. And then I have this set that my very best friend gave this to me a long time ago. And I really, when I pull this one out, I always think about my best friend and how we loved Jesus and we walked and we did church together and we loved each other. And so it just reminds me to pray for my best friend, Cindy. Yeah. And then this is one of my favorite ones. It's the little bitty one. Can y'all see it? It's a star. I know, because it's very tiny. My baby Jesus is kind of tiny. So I have lots of, I know, so my baby Jesus is kind of small. Yeah. Yeah, so I have all different kinds and all different things. And so every year I have to box them all up. And then I got to thinking, I'm putting Jesus away. I'm putting Jesus in a box, and I'm going to put him away for the whole year. Have you ever thought about that?
No.
No? Do we want to put Jesus away in a box?
No.
Do we need to keep Jesus out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do we need to keep Jesus out maybe in a nativity? No, we don't have to keep Jesus out. But we need to remember Jesus every day, right? Because we always think about Jesus during Christmas, but sometimes maybe in the new year that's coming, the new year starts this Saturday. We need to really work on keeping Jesus out all year long. So we don't want to forget about him, do we?
No.
No? Do we want to remember to talk to him? Do we want to remember to praise him? Do we want to remember to celebrate him?
Yes.
Yes. So, but sometimes we do forget. But does he still love us?
Mm-hmm.
He always loves us no matter what.
And we always have to remember his name every day.
We remember his name every single day. That is absolutely right. So, yes, even though we put Jesus in a box and put him up in the closet, we don't need to put Jesus up from our hearts, do we? We need to, he's there. He's with us all the time. So like I said, you know, like we talked about, Jesus isn't just for Christmas. Jesus is every single day, right? We celebrate his birthday at Christmas, and we put all these things out to remind us, but we need to be reminded of Jesus every day. So what are some things that y'all can do to be reminded of Jesus every day? Okay?
Read the Bible.
Read the Bible? What else?
Give Jesus presents in all of
giving presents every day? Okay. We can pray. We can read a Bible. We can come to church. We can talk about Jesus with our friends. We can just spend time with him every single day. So will you try really hard this year to spend time with Jesus every single day and remember him and not put him away? Can y'all do that for me this year? All right. Let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you that you love us. And I thank you as we move through this new year and this time in our lives, Lord, that we will just remember to keep you out and in our hearts every single day of our lives, Lord Jesus, because you love us so much and that you are with us always in every moment of our days and our nights and our every time, everything in our lives, Lord, you are with us. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's go. Here, can you carry this for me?
Good morning. I think the kids are still on a Christmas high, a little Santa, a little sugar high. Welcome this morning. Glad that you're here. Everybody have a good Christmas? Excellent, excellent. Glad that you are here. If you are our guest this morning, we're especially glad that you are with us. There's a card in the seat pocket in front of you. It has a blue stripe. It says guests. Would love for you to fill that out. And I will be out at the end of the foyer at the end of the service. And would love to meet you and get to know you. Trevor, where's Trevor? Man, we're paying him through the end of the service, so no, he's probably taking a break, but we're going to pray for Trevor at the end of the service, so we have appreciated, I'll talk more about that, we've appreciated his service to us and love Trevor and Angie. So if you would rise, if you are able, as we say the Apostles' Creed together, this creed that's been said by Christians for 2,000 years. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Before we go into prayer, I want to say that if you purchased a poinsettia and didn't pick those up Friday night, there's a whole bunch of them still out here. And if you kind of hang around, even if you didn't purchase a poinsettia, grab one, because I think we normally have some of those left over. You know, I just want to pray into this morning that, you know, it's been a couple of, a rough couple of years. Anybody notice that? I mean, all sorts of reasons with COVID and you know, just health issues and people have had some loss and just lots of things. I just want to pray in the spiritual realm that something would shift as we enter into a new year, that things would shift and we would begin to reap blessing. But, you know, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of trials, did you know that there's a purpose? That God is busy even in the midst of those kinds of things going on, that he is busy and he is drawing people unto himself. And so we want to acknowledge that as well. So if you'll just bow your heads and pray with me. Father, when everything seems right, when everything is lined up, when everyone's healthy and everyone's happy, you are God and you love us. And when the trials come, maybe we struggle. You are God and you love us. Our circumstances don't determine your great love for us. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You're the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And we are humbled that you love us. And we have nowhere else to turn when we face trials but to you. You are the giver of life. You have all the answers. You sustain us. You are our peace and our hope and our comfort. Lord, I do pray that as we complete this year, these last couple of tough years, as we come to the end of the calendar year and we're moving into a new year, I pray, God, that in the supernatural, in the spiritual realm, that things would turn. You would heal the sick. You would encourage the downcast. You would draw near to the lonely. Father, we turn to you because we have nowhere else to turn. You're the giver, sustainer of life. And Jesus, you said that you'd come to give us abundant life. And we pray, God, even whatever our circumstances, that we would bring you glory, that we would be light and salt to a hurting world. Shift things, God. And when the darker it becomes, the brighter your light shines, the more it sticks out. May we be that light. May you so fill us with your Spirit, God. May we ooze Jesus. May people see something different and wonderful and unique in us, and it be you. Father, I thank you for sustaining us through the trial, through the storm. I thank you for this church body, for the people you've assembled, and the love that we share for you and for one another. But even more so, Father, the love that you have for us. Just thank you, Father. We pray the prayer now that your Son Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we continue to worship, we invite you to bring your offering forward to the altar rail. We have our plates, and you can also give online. God bless you.
This love so rescuing, oh how infinitely sweet. This great love that has redeemed. As one we see.
Good morning, church. So welcome to what is commonly known as National Youth Pastor Preach Sunday. I don't know. It's just like maybe once a week off or something. But I'm excited to be with y'all this morning. And so right off the bat, I'm going to change it because what's in your bulletin is not the message that I'm doing, as you can see on the slides. One of those lovely things that Billy and Jeff have said more times than not of, you have something planned, you have something going, and then you don't, and it changes. And it's really frustrating, especially on the week of Christmas, for that to happen. And so, but being what it was, we are doing a different message this morning. And so, first and foremost, will you pray with me, and then we'll get started. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to be here. God, I just echo what Jeff said in prayer time. This has been a year unlike any other year, and unfortunately we said that last year too. So God, I just pray that we find refreshment. I pray that we find rejuvenation. And I pray that we begin to look for that in a way that can't be changed by what we see on the news. I pray that we begin to look for that refreshment, that rejuvenation, from a place that can't be as ebb and flow as our day-to-day circumstances sometimes. And God, I just pray that as we look into this new year, I pray that you give us confidence. I pray that you give us boldness to look towards your scripture and look towards you as the foundation of our joy and the foundation of our refreshment. I just pray that you will be with us this morning, allow your spirit to sink in and be present in this room. And God, I pray that you speak through me, and these are not my words. We thank you and we love you. Amen. So like I said, good morning and congratulations for every parent in the room. You officially survived the Super Bowl of parenting, Christmas. And so we hopefully have gotten through most of that. There might be a few more Christmas festivities and things going on, but we are done for the most part in our family. We are waiting for one more get together when my brother comes in from the military, and that'll be in the next week. And so we're excited about that. But for the most part, like Carlene said, it's the time that we begin to pack up all the lights and the Christmas trees and everything else. And for some people, that might be hard. For some people, that might be the official sign of transferring out of this year into the new year. And some people might look at that as good, and some people might look at that as bad. But I wanted to throw a different approach at y'all this morning. And so we're going to start with scripture real quick, and it's 2 Timothy 3:16-17. And it says, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And so I've heard and known this scripture for a while, but have you ever had one of those days? You might be driving, you might be just randomly sitting at home, and either the verse pops in your head or you're reading it or you hear it and it just clicks in a different way. That happened to me this past week, which is why I changed my message entirely. And so this verse popped into my head and I said, you know, maybe I need to rephrase how I see things. Maybe I need to look at scripture as a way of not just like this verse says, as a way for teaching and rebuking and correcting, but for training in righteousness as well. What does that look like for me to be made complete in scripture? And so I started challenging myself to kind of look through that, and of course then God's like, hey, Sunday, you're changing your sermon. And so here we are. But does it mean that your old understanding was off when something clicks a different way? Not necessarily. Or it's not necessarily wrong, but you come to a new, fresh understanding that changes the way that the scripture speaks to you. And so I was going to make it easy this morning. I actually leave on Tuesday to go to Camp Buttman for our midwinter retreat, and I'm speaking at that as well. And so when Jeff asked me to preach today, I was like, well, that's awesome. I mean, hearing and doing the word, which is in your bulletin, it's like, that's the first talk that I'm going to give at camp. I said, I'll just kind of modify it a little bit. It'll be church appropriate, and we'll go from there. And so I had that plan, and God had other plans. So scripture says in Hebrews 4:12-13, for the word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And so the more I started thinking about this, the more I was like, man, has it really been something that I've missed for so long? Because no creature is hidden from... No creature is hidden from him, but all things are naked and exposed to the eyes of him whom we must give an account. So something clicked this week that I've known forever, but it clicked in a new way. The word of God has the power to change, of course. We all know that. It has the opportunity to change our lives. It has the ability to change our understanding and our involvement in scripture. It gives great power to the ones that hold fast to Jesus and the sacrifice that he did for us. But today, with the coming of the new year, I wanted to give you a challenge and walk through some of the biblical discovery that I've done over my life and how Scripture has clicked and how Scripture has changed, my understanding at least has changed, due to the experiences that I've had in my life. So, walk down memory lane real quick. College. I'm sure it happened before this, but the first memorable time that I can point to and say, Scripture changed for me, my understanding of Scripture changed right there, was when I was in college. I vividly remember sitting in my car after talking to my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, and my mother on separate phone calls. And you see, I was in a bit of a pickle. I have some amazing parents that are still amazing to this day. That has not changed. But they were well-intentioned, and I was young and college-aged, and we've all been there. And so I had some amazing, well-intentioned parents that thought the odds of marrying the first girl that I ever dated at the ripe age of 19 years old, proposing to this girl, had the potential to be an odds stacked against us opportunity. Right? Show of hands, how many people would agree with that statement? I agree with that statement, and here I am today. But, so, with that being said, they saw the potential of it being odds stacked against us. Then on the other hand, I had a girlfriend that was madly in love that wanted to get married ASAP and start our lives together. And as I said, I remember vividly sitting in that car, and of course, like any great Hallmark movie or anything, pouring rain outside, and begging God to give me a direction or answers for this situation. I did not know what to do because I saw both sides. I very, very much wanted to marry Lisa, but I very, very much saw the concerns and all of the things that my parents were bringing up too. So I was very stuck. I didn't know which way to go. So as I'd done a few times to hear God speak, I sat quietly until I heard a scripture through a voice in my head. Sometimes it's instant. Sometimes, man, it can be 10, 20, 30 minutes of just sitting in silence. But I heard a voice in my head. Some would say that it's like my conscience delivering a message to me or whatever, but I know that God was delivering the word that I needed. And that word was Proverbs 3:5-7. It said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. Okay? In all your ways, know him, and he will make your paths straight. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. At that particular moment, we've all had those opportunities and those moments in time where Scripture just kind of like words in the Scripture at least jump off the page. And for that specific instance, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't rely on your own understanding. Guys, that's a pretty big claim. That's a pretty big statement. But at the time, that's what I needed. I know that the responsible thing would have been to, you know, finish college, get a good job, have a financial foundation for the life that we were starting, but that's not what I was supposed to do. So we didn't. We did get married. I turned 20, 19 days before we got married, I think, something like that. We've been married for 12 years in May, and it's exciting. It's a great opportunity. But that moment in time, Scripture jumped, and it changed my understanding of Scripture. So we move on, and we get to one that we probably all have done at one point in time. If you've been married, or you are married, it was the passage in Genesis 2:24 that jumped off the page and really, really just struck a new chord within me and my heart. And it's, this is why a man leaves his father and mother and bonds with his wife, that they may become one flesh. The words became, whoop. They became one flesh. So, sorry. The words became real. You can read it, because that's my notes up there instead of the scripture. the words became real. The scripture practically peeled off the page as we began a journey together that will last a lifetime. Two become one flesh. And that's something that genuinely I would say that most people before you get married don't have any clue of what that means. And then you still don't really understand what that means until you start experiencing that. And so through life experience, scripture became real. So that was a moment, just like most of y'all, I would hope, had a moment to where scripture jumped off the page, and that became so much more of a thing that affected me because I was dealing with it in real life. Then became one of the dark moments. So it was a dark moment right after our first year of parenting Eli. If you don't know, Eli is our oldest son. He's 8, about to turn 9 in February. And so our son has, just like, well, both of our sons have always had a good history with croup. And if you've ever dealt with that as a parent, it's the most lovely death cough ever. And it's terrifying if you don't know how to pick it up. And so Eli had had croup a few times, and we were like, you know, we got this. We're good. He has a doctor's appointment on Monday. He got it on Friday. We're like, we'll take care of it. We'll just do the typical stuff that takes care of croup. And then Monday, his appointment was like 10 or 11 in the morning, and his babysitter got there. His babysitter was a mom that had raised many, many children, and she came in, and she goes, hey, so are you taking him to the doctor today? We're like, yeah, it's like 11 o'clock. He's still kind of dealing with croup, so we're just going to take him in and check him. She's like, you might want to take him now. His lips are turning blue. So we found out later through our first of 3 hospitals that day that Eli had croup and he had 2 different types of flu all at the same time. His oxygen almost peaked into the 70s, and it was unbeknown to us, but we didn't know what to do. And so enough of a problem and enough of a serious situation that he actually got care flighted twice that day, not something that any parent wants to deal with, and we told him he's done with helicopter rides. But I remember getting some terribly delivered news at the first hospital, and they were explaining why they would not take Eli by ambulance. And they said, well, the thing about little hearts is they just pump and pump and pump until they can't pump anymore. You don't want to hear that as a parent. And so my wife, one of the only times in my life that I've seen the color completely leave her face, as she was holding Eli in the hospital bed, I did my best to comfort her, and I beelined to the bathroom to have my little breakdown. And in the bathroom, facing the mirror, I had a heart-to-heart with God. And it was something that was probably throwing the biggest prayer I've ever thrown in my entire life. I also remember this verse vividly and fully coming to mind in the middle of my praying and begging God to take authority over that situation, and that I had given up complete control. Isaiah 40:28-31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the whole earth. He never becomes faint or weary. There is no limit to his understanding. He gives strength to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Youths may become faint and weary, and young men stumble and fall. Okay? But, it continues and says, but those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not faint. While we had no answers, I left that bathroom at the first hospital of 3 that we went to that day with a different newfound peace. I walked back into the hospital room, They then had told us, hey, we can't handle you. We're not taking you EMS. Care flight's here. Hop on. So Lisa got on the helicopter with her, with Eli and the first care flight team, and they took Eli to the first hospital. And I drove home to get clothes because I figured we'd be in the hospital for a while, and we had no preparations for that. And then I proceeded to drive the hour and 20-minute drive that it was to get to the hospital that they were already on their way to. But complete peace had found my body and my heart. And I was in a state of calm the entire drive. I did not speed that entire trip because I knew that God was in control. So the next hospital was cool and confident. They very professionally told us that they were not the best place to handle this situation. And they began to share the peace with all of us, though, because of their professionalism and the manner that they did it. And Eli was stable for the first time in hours right before we left in the second helicopter. We spent the next week running tests just to make sure there wasn't anything else in a pediatric ICU. But that whole time was peaceful. We still have plenty of videos and pictures that we look back to and remember that situation. But a lot of times we look back and smile at the pictures in the videos. One of my particular favorites is we're trying to get Eli to eat like crackers or something, and like he sees pudding on the table and he just like grabs it, and like we rip off the lid and he goes to town on it. But that was one of the first things he'd eaten in a while. And so we look back at that knowing that God is good. We look back at that knowing that God answers prayers. So there have been other moments, but I'm just going through fun ones. And this is one that is probably true to all of us. 2020 was a lot of fun, huh? And we're like, yeah, 2020, quarantine, everything else, it can't get worse than that. 2021 has to be better. Okay, so in the first 4 months of 2021, excuse me, in the first 4 months of 2021, my family had a very rough patch of time, including losing both of my grandparents, maternal and paternal, and losing a great uncle. And so it was tough. And then not to mention that, a couple months earlier, my dad's boss had passed away due to COVID. And so there was a couple months of time that was just thing after thing after thing after thing. And I'm sure some of y'all have been there. Some of y'all probably are walking through or just got through there. And so with that, my wife always gets on to me, because I don't normally show emotion like other people. She's nodding her head back there right now. And I don't show emotion like other people for the most part. It's just something that's never really registered with me. Also makes me a great motivational speaker. Bad joke, sorry. So I don't show emotions like other people. And so my wife was constantly checking in on me through these months. Like, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. But the thing that was a struggle was it was a tremendously hard time on my family, and it was difficult watching my family mourn over the different losses that we'd had. Scripture presented through music was and always will be a tremendous resource of mine. And this was no exception. So there were many... There were many different occasions driving in my car where the way that I processed things was I would just drive and listen to music and drive and listen to scripture and just allow that to sink in, hopefully, as I went. And so I would use that as an opportunity to allow scripture found in songs to mend the struggle and the pain that was definitely felt. And this has become my life song. This has become a prayer on my brightest and darkest of days. And so I want y'all to listen to this song now.
past I'm tempted to forget. I'll tie your love around my neck. I'll write your words upon my heart. Lord, I won't forget how good you are. I'll dwell upon your faithfulness. I'll rest within your promises. And when I'm walking through the dark, Lord, I won't forget how good you are. I will trust. I will trust you. I will trust you, Lord, with all my heart. And I won't forget how good you are. No, I won't forget how good you are. Everything I have, and my whole life is in your hands. When what I fear is closing in, Lord, your faithfulness will never end. Your faithfulness will never end. I will trust.
This next part's not going to be on there because I'm spitballing. Something just came to mind. That last phrase, even in the darkness, even in the questions, even in the times of life that I don't understand, did you notice there's something powerful in that? Did it say only in the darkness? Only in the questions? Even in. So what does that mean? That means that God's there in the good and God's there in the bad. So we have an opportunity to use Scripture for goods and bads. Yes, Scripture can walk us through difficult moments, but like I said, this song is my bright days and this song is my dark days. This song is when I have everything together, and this song is where I'm not sure what I'm doing. And there's been a lot of that over the past couple years. On a good note, though, something else that we've done this year to kind of end in positivity. You've seen quite a few different additions to our family over the past year, and fostering has been the other thing that we've done. Man, talk about a time that Scripture becomes real. For multiple reasons, talking about God adopting us into his family, talking about how we were once orphans, but God has restored that connection. It's good stuff, church. It became a whole lot more real when we started bringing kids into our house that needed a place. And it wasn't our kids and them, it was our kids. And they will never know different. And so with that, that song still has just as much power. I will trust you, and I won't forget how good you are. If you want to know, that song is on Spotify, YouTube, Amazon, whatever. It's called Trust by Matt Hammett. And this, Matt Hammett is the lead singer of a Christian band that used to be fairly big called Sanctus Real. Y'all might know who that is. And so he wrote this song in a season of despair after finding out that his young son was dealing with something called hypoplastic left heart syndrome. And basically, for the ones that don't understand, half of your heart, whatever, if it's left or right, depending on what it is, your heart is just severely underdeveloped. And so it doesn't function like it should, and it can cause some super, super serious complications and, in some cases, death. And so in the middle of dealing and going through all the tests and the studies and everything that they were running on his son, he wrote this song in his prayer closet. Talk about Scripture being there when you need it. Dealing with things, trying to find answers, but striving to remember promises that God gives us. I had a conversation yesterday about, you know, meaning of life and purpose of life and everything. I said, you know, Christianity, it's a pretty easy one. I mean, God kind of spells it out plain and simple for us. Love God, love others, and display the love of Christ where other people accept who Jesus is. But even from the Christian and un-Christian perspective of that, I would also throw in search for joy. Search for things that can't be taken away. That's why we find our joy in God. That's why we find our joy in God's Word. Because regardless of whether I'm having my brightest day or my darkest day, this doesn't change. So, I'm not entirely sure the scripture reference that he uses for that song, but the best one that I can think of is Proverbs 6:20 through 23. It says, "My son, keep your father's command, and don't reject your mother's teaching. Always bind them to your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk here and there, they will guide you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. When you wake up, they will talk to you. For a command is a lamp, teaching is a light, and corrective discipline is the way to life." While there are some big moments of experiencing Scripture and living the living Word, there's also been many, many other moments. But, unfortunately, you don't have time to hear them all. But there have been many times in my life. But I believe that all of us, if we are looking, have incredible opportunities to develop our understanding of Scripture according to the life experiences that we have. We have opportunities every single day. So, as some of us look forward to this upcoming new year optimistically, some desperately, and some just hoping to see a brighter year, maybe we can all come under the umbrella of the desire to find opportunities for God to develop our understanding of Scripture through our experiences. Maybe God can work to allow our hearts to hold fast to the promises that regardless of what the year brings, we have a Savior that's already won the battle. Amen? So, which leads to my question and my challenge for y'all. What has God tried to teach you this year? This has been a question that I have not been able to shake since Billy Krim said it one day in his prayer time, and it has not left me. He was up here and he said, God, you could wipe away COVID in an instant. You could take everything from us, but if you aren't, that means we must be needing to learn something, so teach us what that is. And I was like, whew, I don't know if I want to accept that. Like, that's a hard thing to, if God's not getting rid of something, maybe it's because he's trying to teach us something, to be making us complete, like it said in 2 Timothy, so that we may be complete, equipped for every good work. So what has God tried to teach you this year, and what can you look forward to next year as we start another year of life on earth? How can God's words jump off the page? How can they illuminate your heart? How can you experience Scripture instead of just reading it? Will you pray with me? Worship team, y'all can go ahead and come up. God, we thank you for the opportunity. God, just the privilege to be your sons and daughters, the privilege of having your word in front of us. And God, like it said, your word is active. It's a double-edged sword. It can literally be the answer to any and everything that we have. But God, I pray that you allow us to experience Scripture and not read it. I pray that you allow us to have moments to where that Scripture rips into our hearts, so it can mend and heal, and sometimes just be there to celebrate with us. I pray that you allow this step into the year 2022, which is just even weird to say. I pray that you allow this as an opportunity for us to walk into 2022 with the observation and the challenge of how are you teaching me this year instead of why are you putting me through this? God, you are good. Scripture says that many, many, many times. I pray that we just experience it so we can do more than read it. Be with us as we leave this building. Be with us as we walk through this last week of 2021. And for some people, God, there might even be some soul searching and some heart searching that there's still time in 2021 to do some experiencing. I pray that you let that happen. Point them in the right direction. Give them the opportunities to hear your voice so they can experience you in a different way, so it jumps off the page. We thank you and we love you. Amen.
The splendor of a king. Let all the earth rejoice.
said earlier, and as Trevor said, this is Trevor's last Sunday with us after 5 years or so of blessing us and serving us. Put your guitar down if you wouldn't mind. I've always wanted to tell you what to do, man. I love it. If you'll, Trevor, come around here. If you either currently, come right down there, brother. Currently or at any time, if you've been on the praise team with Trevor, I invite you to come forward. We're going to pray over Trevor as we send him forth. That's his baby sister, in case you didn't know that. Trevor, we love you. We love you and Angie, and thank you for your service to us and to the Lord. And we want to pray you out with blessings in what the Lord has for you. And I can't remember if I announced it. I don't think I announced it last week. Cody, raise your hand. Cody's our new worship leader starting next week. Cody has been filling in some for Trevor from time to time, and I'm excited about your leadership as well. All right, if y'all can grab a hand on him or someone in front of you, let's pray. Father, we are grateful that you have given us the gift of being your people, to being in relationship with one another. And Father, I just thank you for Trevor's heart, his heart for you, his heart for us, in his leadership and his faithfulness to us. Lord, I pray blessings on him and Angie and the days ahead. I thank you for new grandbabies and opportunities, Father, for him to serve in the future with his dad. And Lord, we just give you thanks and pray blessings in the name of Jesus. We pray. Amen. You can say goodbye to Trevor on your way out. Where's Brent? Brent's going to give us our benediction.
So what a fitting thing to sing after talking about how Scripture is great and how we can rejoice and find joy in God regardless. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? All will sing, how great. Not all will sing when they're in a good mood. All will sing when the Cowboys win a football game. All will sing. Scripture even goes, if we're quiet, then the rocks will cry out. I don't know about y'all. As much as I'd love to hear that, I don't want that to happen. Like, God is good, church. So what is God trying to get you to experience through Scripture? Go out and maybe have that as your resolution for 2022. You're dismissed.
This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today.
If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you and be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.